everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 120, recording December 27th, 2020, and we have done it. We have made it to the end of the most trying year. Well, a couple days left for the wheels to completely fall off, but somehow we have made it, and we have made it to our annual Pixel Life Game of the Year episode. We're going to have lots to discuss. I'm sure there's going to be lots to argue about, and hey, I'm really happy you hit that download button and are going to take this journey with us. So, without further ado, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon Moore. Shannon, you ready for this?
Don't you dare jinx us before the end of this year. We still have 7 days left. There's plenty of shit that can go wrong.
That's fair. Mr. Just-In-Time Carter, do you also share these reservations?
I do. I mean, I hope, like, Shannon after the podcast is going to get his, like, phone out of his car and it's going to be gone.
My phone is right here, sir. I don't have to worry about that.
No, the phone will be in the car, but the meteor is going to crush the car right in front of him. That's the thing. Mr. Robert Steltonpool is back on the podcast. Robbie, welcome back.
Woo! Let's go.
Let's go, he says.
Let's go.
And joining us, Mr. Platinum himself, our special guest, Jordan Derringer. We figured we actually have someone that, you know, played a lot of video games join our game.
And is
a complete psycho when it comes to playing games. Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, random host who has not introduced himself. How are you?
Yes, hi. This is the nameless voice from the void, also known as Zach Anderson. How are you? Jordan, real quick, you survived the holidays. If you don't know, Mr. Platinum is one of our people out on the streets making deliveries as a U.S. postman, one of the most valuable people of our society. And, hey, you survived. Congrats, man.
Thank you. I appreciated it. With COVID, it has not just been a rough Christmas season. It has been a rough year.
Yeah,
because Amazon, let me tell you what, Amazon's business is booming, and us at the Postal Service, we definitely feel it.
I'm sure, because everyone's ordering everything from groceries to incidentals and everything in between. And I know my own house, my wife orders everything now. She hasn't been in a store since March. So, yeah, it's real. And you and your fellow postal workers are the glue that has been keeping everything together. So I just wanted to say thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Nope, no problem at all. So this episode, we're going to set aside our usual format and kind of get right into the conversation about the games that made the biggest impacts for us. Because this is going to be a lot, you guys. This is going to be a lot of talk. So I hope you're all ready for it. I know we all are. Now, I know the outline says one thing, and Shannon, thank you so much for looking at the outline. I really appreciate it. But I thought before we got into some high notes, I just kind of wanted to get first thing off the top of your head. What was your biggest disappointment in gaming for the year? Biggest one. And let's go, Shannon. Shannon, what you got?
Negative Space not coming out this year.
Ooh, that is a great call. Fabulous.
Oh yeah. No. Biggest disappointment. Biggest disappointment. I don't know. I would say Cyberpunk being what it is.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to see what the patch was all about, the mega patch that they keep touting on Twitter, and I went and actually bought the game because I'm a glutton for punishment, and I'm still waiting for that game to be awesome. It's still buggy, it still feels loose, it feels unfinished. That's definitely taking my disappointment spot this year.
It really is. Like, it's not my answer, but just to continue, just to elaborate on that a little bit more. As someone who hit a game-breaking bug 5 hours in on PC, and then Steam will not give me a refund because I exceeded 2 hours, made me even more angry. But, sci-fi is not my thing. I understand that. But, man, they are. This developer is my bag. It is a fan for life is what I said after, Witcher 3. And I just was beyond disappointed with what they came up with and what this product is, because even outside the bugginess, it's not even really a great game. Like, it's not a great time to play. So
yeah, that's so, my understanding too, is on top of everything, it's kind of just bland. So
you know, and that's the thing. I think, like, you know, especially right now, I think maybe that heightens the disappointment factor, is just because everybody was expecting this game to be a banger and for it to kind of give us something to do for a long period of time while COVID is still wreaking havoc. And it's just unfortunate that
COVID's not gone. I thought COVID was gone.
My movie theater going friend. it's not. but you know, it's just it's just insult to injury. I think it sucks. But
Jordan, what you got? What's your quick answer to that?
Shannon taking my game of the year joke, because I was definitely going to say my game of the year was Negative Spaces, but mine's a tie for three, actually. The obvious answer for me is Avengers, because Avengers is just garbage.
that was my answer too, actually.
But my other two were Assassin's Creed Valhalla, because I bounced off that game hard, and Animal Crossing, because after you get what's his dog face to the island to play his little concert, the game just falls off so hard. So I stopped playing that game when my kid was born in May, and I have not picked it up again since. I've had no desire to pick it up again.
Jordan just kicking in the front door, pulling knives out. Like, man, look what's going on around here.
The fact that you called KK Slider what's his dog face was a stab in the fucking heart for me.
Hey, at least you got Tom Nook on your arm and not KK Slider.
I know. That is true.
Robbie, what you got?
This one's super easy for me. Last of Us 2.
Ooh, wow, okay.
I had a problem with the game being made, because I thought the first one was so perfect, and so I trusted them that if they were gonna go and make a sequel, man, it was gonna hit. It was gonna be purpose. There was gonna be. Oh, wait, by the way, before I keep going, is spoilers on the table here, or?
We should probably do that. Yeah, we're. I think all spoilers are on the table. Because we need to be able to talk about games in order to talk about them.
I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything.
Yeah. No. I forgot to put that little disclaimer at the top. So yeah, if we hit a game that you haven't played and don't want to know story beats about or twists or turns, you should probably jump ahead until we're not. But yeah, so just be warned. That's all.
Well, I was gonna say, if you just preface it with spoiler, I will put a timestamp in our little flavor text when somebody downloads this, and then they can look and see what's going on.
Okay, so I'm about to spoil the hell out of Last of Us 2.
Okay.
The fact that they kill Joel, and they kill him kind of early in the game, and the way they kill him, and then they cheaply connect him to the doctor that was at the end of the first Last of Us, just feels incredibly cheap, and it doesn't feel earned. It doesn't feel like something that is quality. And I know people love the new character, and for some reason I'm blanking on her name now. You know, Abby. She won an award, and it has nothing to do with her portrayal. It has nothing to do with the actress who plays her. It has everything to do with me, that I felt like it was a lazy connection, and I felt like it was lazy to kill Joel, because to me at least, while Ellie was so important, Joel was equally important. And just because you're telling me a story of Ellie wanting to make up for being a jerk to Joel, like, that's essentially what's going on here. Like, she wants to go on this journey to reconcile this because of the way she treated Joel the last time they saw each other. And to me, it felt weak. It did not feel like the game that I thought they were going to make. And that to me was incredible. And also, to Zach's point about the first game, nothing changed as far as gameplay, and it still felt unfun at times to play.
That was my biggest hang up with Last of Us 2, is I didn't enjoy actually playing The Last of Us, and it's the same exact control scheme with little or no upgrades, and it was just like, yeah, I'm not doing that again. I don't care how good the story is.
Can I insert on the gameplay real quick?
Please.
Sure, sure.
Please.
Turn on the accessibility options, because I'll tell you what, as serious as a story as that was trying to make, it was the funniest thing when I'd shoot somebody in the face and everyone would look at me and go, you motherfucker, I saw that. And I hit the ground and they're like, well, where did she go?
Oh, she's gone? Yeah. Oh, that was weird.
But that made that game 100 times more fun to me. But to kind of second your point there, Robbie, everything you just said is actually why Last of Us 2 didn't make my list, my top 10 at all. So I second everything you just said.
All right, Justin, what you got?
Man, dude, I thought for sure it was going to be Avengers. And then Cyberpunk was like, hold my beer. I can't think of another game in like recent history that like was so financially successful on launch day, yet so universally hated at the same time. I mean, I played it like 2-3 times. Like, I didn't experience a lot of bugs on the PS5 like while playing it. I crashed multiple times, but beyond that, I didn't have any of like the weird like you're naked standing in T pose while driving or like any of those like weird glitches that you see in the YouTube compilations and stuff. But it's like, man, dude, I don't know. After playing like I haven't played it again recently, and it's one of those things where it's like I don't even really feel like a need to like really want to go back to it.
For me, that has now become a game I'm gonna probably attempt to play summer 2021, assuming they can patch it and fix it. And you know, it's not like this didn't happen with Witcher 3. Witcher 3 just didn't start as badly. Witcher 3 was buggy as hell when it first launched. And then by the time they got the Game of the Year edition out, it was smooth as silk and ran really well. But I have faith. There's too much money behind Cyberpunk for them not to fix it, you know? And so I have faith that they'll get there. I just am not going to try it until they do.
Yeah. To your point, Zach, I think, you know, like I remember with Witcher, one of the biggest complaints the first like couple weeks was how the horse ran in the game. And within 2 or 3 weeks, they updated and changed the way the horse ran and made it perfect.
Well, you know? and how your character moved. Remember like that weird, like lopey walk they had him do at first? It was like this really odd gait that your character had when he was just walking. And it was like, I think it was making some people motion sick and stuff just because it was like this weird side to side every time he'd move and it was throwing people off. But yeah, like I think they'll get there. They'll get there. It just was a bummer.
I trust them to fix the game, but yeah. I don't know if the game is going to be what we thought it was, regardless of what they change. Yeah, I don't think the base of this game in its perfect form is that interesting or that great. But anyway, I'm sorry.
So let's get off all that. Since we're talking dark stuff, we all got the brakes thrown on us in March when lockdowns happened and quarantines happened and so on and so forth. And all of us seemed to turn to games. Weird, I know, that's strange. But so I was just kind of curious, what was the game that kind of was the escape hatch for you in some of your darker days in 2020 there? Justin, let's go with you.
I mean, for me, it couldn't be anything but Animal Crossing. Sure. Like, that Nintendo, like, I don't know how they did it, but it's like they almost, like, knew COVID was going to hit, and it came out the right time. It's literally, like, you living a second life on an island where you can actually interact with people who are happy to see you. Yeah. And, like, it was enough to like keep you invested in going every day and like doing little remedial tasks to like distract you and stuff. And the fact that, you know, I was a part of like a Facebook group and stuff of like at least a dozen different people playing and keeping up on turnip prices and stuff. Like, I mean, it kept me occupied for like, I think it was like the roughest patch of like the start of COVID and stuff.
I was going to say, Shannon, that was kind of you as well, right? with Animal Crossing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was like my first iteration getting into the Animal Crossing world, and I think it just hit at the right time because nobody could go out and do anything, so I was pretty much just, yeah, I'll play this game. And then my girlfriend saw it, and she was just like, yeah, I want to get in on that. And then we were, like, jumping back and forth between each other's islands, and it was, like, this whole new, like, game that I had never played or experienced, but I was uncovering all these things as I went. And then I had, like, Justin as my Sherpa, who was just, like, guiding me along, like, the path of, like, what I need to do. And, yeah, it filled up a lot of my time. I would probably say I played it for, like, 3 or 4 months, and it was just, you know, I had my island all decked out. Like, it was happy to go and to go there, and, you know, I made fun of it, like, before it came out, and I was saying it seems like it was, like, chores the game. And, you know, it was, but it, you know, it just filled that void, and it just came across at the right time. And I never thought that I would see a game like Animal Crossing beat out like Doom Eternal, which came out on the same day.
Yeah.
You know, in the gaming world. So you know, it's got to get its props. And so yeah, it was my game that pulled me through this year.
Now for our non-Animal Crossing entries, Robbie, why don't you go take a hard left from Animal Crossing?
I want to just take a quick second and praise Animal Crossing too, because I'm honestly, I picked, there were a couple of games that did this for me this year, but this is 1A, or I'm sorry, this is 1B. And for those that don't know, like just to, you know, I know you guys have heard this 1,000 times, but when COVID hit, my wife is deployed. I had to go out and live in a cabin in the woods with no internet. And I couldn't download games. I couldn't really do much of anything. And I got away for a day, and my in-laws let me go into town, and I was able to find a Wi-Fi spot, and I downloaded Animal Crossing to my Switch. And man, it was just so delightful. I have issues with the game, and that's why it's not higher on my list. But at the end of the day, like, especially in March, when it got really – or April, whatever month it was that the game released, when it was just in the darkest of COVID, like, that game was awesome for me. However, the game that I have an answer for is – it did not come out this year. It came out 7 years ago. and that game is NCAA College Football 2014 on 360. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, there are a group of guys for the last however many years or however long the game's been out, they have been updating the rosters and the ratings of players ever since then. And so this summer, when COVID was still – when the lockdown was still going on – and I trusted one or two people to come work out in my gym that I had in my garage. Man, we would work out, and then we would spend hours playing NCAA college football. And we would, you know, I had two controllers, and I'm actually trying to find new 360 controllers because we've worn down the rubber on the sticks now. But no, like that, I think that shows how important this game is to me, is that I'm trying to find more controllers to extend my gameplay of this game, because even after 7 years, this college football game is special. And it was just a great, great glue that brought me and my friends together, or actually it helped me make friends with people that I wasn't friends with before, that I work with and that I go to church with. And that was just really something special. Like really quickly during midterms this past week before Christmas, we had midterms, and half the day we spent, you know, we spent giving tests, and the other half of the day we were working on stuff. Well, me and my fellow department guys, we had a tournament of playing NCAA together. And I don't know, it's a really special game, and I hope that we get a new one soon. But but yeah, NCAA, definitely a hard left from Animal Crossing.
All right, Jordan, what about you?
So I do want to preface by saying, as far as Animal Crossing goes, kind of in the same situation as Robbie, I played the hell out of it. My wife and I played the absolute hell out of it. And then we both got KK on the island around the same time, and our son was born. and we just haven't touched it since. So that's where my disappointment for Animal Crossing came in, was the fact that all the time I put into it, and now I have absolutely no desire to go back to it. So, like Robbie, I do need to praise the game for everything that it did, because I was right there with all you guys on the Facebook group with the turnips and all that kind of stuff. But I am also going to take a hard left here, and my escape game is going to be more of an escape series, and it has been the Resident Evil series.
Ooh, nice.
In January, I started Resident Evil Zero, and I've been trying to do one a month. So, yeah, that's been my escape thing.
So, there's nothing better
than shooting a zombie in the face.
Which one's your which one's the goat so far? What's your favorite?
Probably remake two.
Yeah, remake of two is amazing.
Yeah, remake two is really good, but funny enough, Resident Evil 5 holds a very special place in my heart, because I would always a buddy that I went to high school with got it right outside of high school and played through that game so many times. So 5 is a close second for me.
I will maintain five is a good co-op game. It's a bad single player game. That's my thing with 5. Like, 5 sucks as a single player.
Yes, 100%.
For me, it was... So, Animal Crossing was, like, my house's game. Like, my wife started her thing. My son started his own account for it. They're all on the island. People would, like... We would literally have Alexa set timers so people could take their turns throughout the day on the island. In that month there of March, April, and when I started going back to work every day in May, up until that point, like, time and days lost all meaning. So it would be just like, oh, we're going to stay up till 3 a.m. to catch a fish. Like, yeah, sure. Why not? Who cares? Like, you know, we got nothing to do tomorrow anyway. So yeah, like, yeah. And it would just be, it was really fun in that regard. Like, just it reminded me a lot of, like, being back in the college dorm room setting of just, like, no one cares. Like, let's just play, you know? And, but for me, the game I wanted to talk about was actually Spiritfarer, which is a game I really liked, really loved the vibe of, very Animal Crossing-esque in a lot of ways, but much more plot-driven. And, It's unfortunate because it just falls apart. I still have never finished it. We've talked about it on the show, and I don't need to go into it again. But for about a month there, that game really held me, and it was the game that, like, I could go back to, could play and relax, could totally unwind. It was very mellow, and hit the good amount of emotional chords you want from a story like that. Yeah, that would be mine, was Spiritfarer. I mean, for my entire house, it would be Animal Crossing, but I think Spiritfarer was that game for me. So I wanted to kind of shift from there to, what's that one moment that, like, you think back, 2020, you're in gaming, that moment that sticks with you. I'll give you mine just as an example. I was gifted Resident Evil 3 to play from Mr. Platinum over here, and it was it had sat on my counter for a couple days. I threw it in after the kids went to bed, and I'm playing, not really know what to expect. So I know they've revamped it, changed it, like, very similar to Resident Evil 2, and it starts up, and that first Nemesis chase, like, when she wakes up, answers the phone, Nemesis busts through the wall and it starts chasing you through an apartment building and out into the street. It's unfortunate, because I don't think the game ever really hits that much of a high mark again throughout the whole run of the game. But that opening 15 minutes is fucking amazing. Like, it's just so good. And it's up there with, like, some of the best horror monster movies you've ever seen. Like, the direction, the camera, the timing of everything. And it's funny, because, like, my wife does not play those games. She doesn't watch horror movies, but she was next to me while I was playing that, and it's just like, what's going to happen next? What are we doing? What's going on here? And all of a sudden, she's like locked in to Resident Evil because that opening was so good. And it's funny because I'm going down my Game of the Year list and looking at everything that's on it, and that's like the moment that jumps to the front of that list for me. It's just that when as soon as that wall gets kicked down and it's on, and like the adrenaline spike hits and everything just goes, it's perfection. It's beautiful in how it all comes together. And so for me, that's like my best gaming moment of 2020. So I don't know if you've got something else on there or what you think, but I'd love to hear it. So Justin, what you got?
Dude, so mine had to be the death of Bobby in Paper Mario Origami King.
Yes, yes.
And it's mainly because I couldn't believe they actually killed him. Like, if you've ever played any of the other Paper Mario games, or like especially the Mario and Luigi games and stuff like that, I mean, there's always a tendency for like the little floating, like, hey, listen, partner and stuff to at some point sacrifice themselves in the game, but then they end up coming back like at the very end. And this was one of those moments where the setup, you're sitting there and like, they're not actually going to fucking kill him. And then he blows up and you're like, no, he's dead. And I'm like, okay, well then by the end of the game, he's going to come back. No,
nope.
He does not come back. And I was like, that was pretty bold of Nintendo to just be like, yeah, no. He's just going to die. Like, that's completely fine. And I was like, wow. I was like, I did not think they were actually going to go that far with it. And I was like, they went there.
Because I loved Bobby.
I know. Bobby. And that's the thing.
He's such a great character.
Like, he's just a normal ba-bomb, but they made you love him just to take him away like halfway through the game. Yep. And that's what made it such a good moment. Like, I couldn't believe it.
I love when they call him Bobbert. Or when she's trying to come up with all the names before it lands on Bobby. So good. Who we got next? Shannon, what you got?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I didn't really feel like there were enough games that I played this year that had moments where I was, blown away. Like, this was a game. This was a year of, I would say, mediocre gaming. Like, it had like such huge potential, but just fell by the wayside. But I mean, Paper Mario had a couple moments in it. Like, even with the ending of that game, you know, it's just, you think it's gonna go one way, and like Nintendo just totally took like a hard nosed, like, no, like, people make choices in this world, and the choices they make are, you know, the how you have to live your life, like, you, regardless, like, you can't just keep changing things willy-nilly because you didn't like them. You know, I think that's kind of what I pulled out of like the end of Paper Mario, is just like, yeah, like, this is what she wanted, you got to respect her wishes, I know you miss her, it sucks, but like, it's for the best. Like, it's for the best for everything to stay this way. But I mean, those were the only moments that really stuck out to me. Because, like, you know, Nintendo, I always kind of saw as like the sugarcoating, lighthearted, you know, nobody ever really dies in their video games. And then all of a sudden, here you are, like, faced with like two hard truths that like two main characters basically don't come back at the end of this game. Yeah. So I mean, that was a pretty important moment. I wouldn't say it was like the best moment in gaming for me, but you know, they stuck out. So that's all I got.
Well, since you only play like the first half hour of video games, you should try Resident Evil 3. It's really good.
Dude, okay, Resident Evil 3 has like a couple things going for it. Like, I panic when I get into those like chase sequences. Like, yeah. I am not going to do well in that first, like, second of all, like, it's a Resident Evil game, and we all know that like scary games do not jive well with me, and like Resident Evil 2 is probably like the only game I've like tried to get into in that series, and I beat the original one, but I still haven't beaten the remake. So yeah, I mean, like, you know, I would like to give it a try, but I guess get a bigger pair of testicles. So
yeah, Shannon's afraid of Luigi's Mansion, and you're gonna put him into Resident Evil.
I'm not afraid of Luigi's Mansion. The controls in that game suck balls, and I'm not going to sit there and stand by playing a shitty game.
Meaning, he can't run away fast enough because he's scared. That's what it is.
I want a camera on Shannon when he plays the opening of Resident Evil 7. That's what I want. Like, when the whole Meet the Family sequence. That's what I want.
Oh, man. I yell.
Seriously, yeah, like, totally. I told you guys this. I played Outlast, and I got, like, the chills and the sweat, and, like, I couldn't, like, the first time, like, I ran.
Of course you did. It's one of the scariest games ever made.
It ruined me forever.
Shannon had to change his draws. He was getting the ass sweat, you know, like it was working.
Just to make sure that that didn't happen.
Robbie, what you got?
For me, I really did wrestle with this one because I think Miles Morales, the Spider-Man game, has some several great moments in it. However, I think the perfect moment is the first victory you get in Warzone with your friends. As that game just started getting more and more popular as the year went on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never thought that I would enjoy a Call of Duty Warzone game. I think that this year it was just so enjoyable. It was just so much freaking fun to play. And also, I think why I liked it so much is because I didn't have a lot of time to play video games this year. So whenever I did, it was little moments like that that really made it stand up and stand out to me. Winning a round in Warzone, I thought was just incredible.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. Warzone has been out for what, like almost a year now, right? Like,
yeah. Six.
So is it worth jumping into now? Because like I haven't even touched that like portion of Call of Duty.
I think so, because I think it's probably the best multiplayer thing that they've come out with in a long time.
So you don't think I'm just going to get shot up hella fast on the maps because I don't know anything, like right out the gate? Like,
well, you've played other battle royales though, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. So you know the general concept. Mm-hmm, so yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think you'd be fine, and I'm pretty sure you'd enjoy it too.
Cool. All right, I'll give it a try.
All right, and Jordan, I know yours is when they release the list of easiest platinum trophies.
Hey, just because I've knocked out 5 platinum trophies in the past 3 days does not mean anything.
So tell me about Terminator Resistance.
That was not one of them.
Oh, that wasn't? Okay.
No, that was not one of them. I'm going to piggyback off of you, Zach. For Resident Evil 3, I was debating between two moments in that game. And the first moment was the introduction sequence, that mm-hmm. first chase with Nemesis. But the other part is towards the end of the game, and spoilers if you haven't beaten it. I know Shannon's not going to care because he's not even going to look at that game. At the very end, you're chasing down Nikolai, and you and Carlos end up getting separated by the final time that Nemesis shows up. He breaks through the wall. You got the big-ass rail gun, and Jill is separated from Carlos by Nemesis, and she says, go, just catch him. You know, we can't afford to lose him. And she turns around to face Nemesis and puts her arms out and says, just so you know, this is the last fucking time. And that moment was just like, they did that, and then it started up the epic music, and I was like, let's fucking do this.
Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other moment. But for not in an actual game, but like for gaming itself, I've got to go with just a couple weeks ago, Nintendo does amazing things, and they released the newest Super Smash Brothers character, and that was Sephiroth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the cinematic that they put with it was astounding.
I have not checked it out yet. I will have to watch that.
Definitely watch the Sephiroth reveal trailer, because it is so good.
It was like straight up Advent Children.
Yes.
It was so good.
Can we just stop the podcast to talk about the Bahamut fight and Advent Children real quick? Because I love that thing still to this day. Dude. It was like one of the coolest.
Did you guys watch the most recent one, the Kingsglaive movie? Mm. Dude, you gotta watch that one. That the last half of that freaking movie is just epic.
Wait, what? I've been talking, Robbie. I've been talking about this since Final Fantasy 15 came out. I've been talking about Kingsglaive. I've been talking about the little animated series that came out. Don't get on my hype train, Shannon. You weren't on this thing when it started. You can't get on now.
Bro, I bought that movie day one. Like it was sitting on my iTunes library day one. I've watched that thing like 15 times already. It never gets old. I love it.
Shannon's that, like, I've got the receipts.
That and Advent Children, man. I love those two movies. Even though Advent Children is really just one giant Dragon Ball Z movie of just fighting over and over again.
But what is that problem?
No, it's not a bad thing. It's just what it is. Like, there is no narrative. The dialogue makes no sense, but whenever Cloud pulls out his sword, it is incredibly cool.
I'm down with, 8 foot long swords and gun blades. Let's do this. It was just the game that they're attached to kind of sucks. It just sucks, but whatever.
Watch yourself, Zachary.
And then the look on Justin's face of pure glee of like, oh, chaos.
I know. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Final Fantasy. You tell
The look on Justin's face for chaos right now is great, but the look on his face when I was shitting all over Animal Crossing and causing that chaos.
Yeah. Or Shannon saying negative space being his biggest disappointment of the year.
Comedy comes in threes.
I'm just glad it's not me tonight. Anyway, it's still early.
The night is young, Shannon. So let's get into it. Each of us have made a top 10 list. We checked it twice. We've doled out who's naughty and nice. I'm gonna break this up. So we're gonna do 10 through 6, and when someone gets called on, can you guys just rattle off 10 through 6? And then if you have any overlapping, that was the time to talk about that game and where you have it on your list maybe, and then we'll run through that way. Just in the interest of time, but I'm trying to make this not a 5-hour podcast. So I feel like we'll move on a lot quicker in that regard. Shannon, why don't you drop 10 through 6 on us?
All right. So number 10, I got Torchlight 3. It would have been higher, but the glitches and bugs in it right now just kind of take it out of the running for me. You get the what?
Wasn't one of the classes a train?
No, it wasn't a train. It was a mech. It was like a robot mech with a gun in his chest. And like he would like smash people. And then when you got him far enough away, you could like shoot at him with a cannon. It was awesome. The next game I have for number 9, I have Streets of Rage 4 for the Switch.
Almost made mine.
You guys make fun of me for playing games for a half hour at a time or only playing a half hour. That game is perfect for that small time frame. You can get so much done in that game in such a short amount of time, and there's so many characters. It was just, I'm not good at that game, so I, maybe struggled to beat it a couple times, and, then I never went back to it. So it was a good game for what it was. Minecraft Dungeons is my number 8. Good game, just, it's Minecraft and Diablo put together. I didn't feel there was much of a game there. It was fun for what it was, but I wanted it to be longer and more in depth. Number 7 for me was Spiritfarer. I think it's as high up for me because I completed it. The ending sucked. The control was good. But you were saying, it just gets too busy halfway through. Yeah. It loses the thread of the story. It goes from something that's personal and authentic to something that is general and broad. And I think that ruins the magic. And then finally, my number 6 was Carrion. I know it's going to be on a couple of other people's lists, maybe a little higher. I don't know. But I would say Carrion was good. For me, I felt the controls were a little too sensitive. But for the most part, like, the game was great. I liked killing people. I just wish that it was the controls felt a little more crisp so that I could kill people in the way I wanted to.
Now I had Carrion as number 8 on my list, and it's funny you say one of your critiques was the controls, because the controls are why it's on my list. It was the thing that like made that game. The way I saw it described was moving around that world was the same feeling as like rolling a billiard ball down a pool table. Yeah. And it's the only thing I've ever played that like felt like that as far as movement goes. And I freaking loved it. Like it was just so fun to just play.
Movement is legit. Like, I mean, like the fact that you could just like stick to everything and like you're just like kind of meandering around the stage. That's great. It's just when you attack, go to attack. And like you go to like extend out that arm, that cursor to, you know, move where you want it to, or that to attack a certain way. I just feel that shot out like way too fast, or it was just way too sensitive to your direction with your analog stick for it to be of use to me, or for me to benefit from attacking somebody that way. That's all.
Gotcha.
See, so yeah, that's my 10 through 6.
I had Carrion as my number 6 too. And I put it there because, you know, I thought it was long enough that, you know, it was fun. The story, like what story there was and stuff was pretty neat. But the feeling of actually being the monster and like slithering through like the air ducts and stuff and just picking people, like slaughtering people in half and stuff, like it was fantastic at that. I felt like I was actually like a movie monster. Like I was like the thing crawling through everything, just messing everybody up at the lab.
I had Carrion as my number 9, actually, as well.
Very cool. And Robbie did not make your list, I'm assuming?
No, he did not make my list.
no problem.
I play good games, so...
I'm just
kidding. I just wanted to be a jerk. I have not even touched that game, so I have nothing to say about it.
Looking at your list, number 7 would prove that that is a lie.
Chin, you literally have no ability to talk about any of the games that I like. It's like ever.
The one other thing I want to jump on was I have it on my number 10 is you had mentioned Minecraft Dungeons. And for me, that made the list because of playing it with my son. Like it was kind of his first dungeon crawler and he freaking loved it. And he was able to play it. B, get into the characters, really got into the world, like got into, you know, customization and upgrading weapons and all the stuff, all the hooks that like get someone on a Diablo type game. And it totally got him. And it for a long time, he still plays it. I've tapped out at this point, but it became like the game we played together. And so for me, it was pretty special in that regard. And you know, you're right. There's nothing really all that deep there, but it is a very accessible Diablo game in a lot of ways. And for that, I think it gets some credit. Like, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So who's next up?
All right. Why don't we go Justin?
Yeah. So I know one that me and Zach, I think, ranked pretty close together was my number 10 was Murder by Numbers.
Hell yeah. Number 9 on my list.
I thought, you know, it was, I still need to beat it, which Zach said the ending is crazy, but I got pretty far in it. And so I've never played like a Pictocross game ever. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's like they merged it so well with like the Phoenix Wright style of like murder mystery and stuff. And the writing's great in it. And the characters are fun. And, you know, just showing people items you're not supposed to, like, show them. And their little snide remarks, like, why are you showing me this? And, like, different stuff was, that was a lot of fun.
And I think it's a very, I'm not going to say important, but it's a very good game in 2020 as far as representation. You know, there's openly gay characters, openly transgender characters, but they don't, like, that's not the point of them. That's just who they are. And they exist in this world. And I found that refreshing. It's like they didn't spend the whole time explaining why this is a gay character in the game. It's like, no, this is just this dude. Moving on. You know, and I found that incredibly refreshing.
Yeah, so. The music's pretty banger, too. And the fact that you hear it a lot and it doesn't get old.
Banging. Like, dude, it's some good 80s synth pop is happening throughout that whole thing. Like, it is, yeah.
And then for my number 9, I picked Discroom, which I know I talked about, I think, a few weeks ago on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, really simple concept, but very well executed. And it's by, you know, the developer of Minute. and stuff, and it's of course Devolver Digital and stuff, so they're great at making like short games with like solid concepts and stuff work. And you know, it's a lot of fun, very fast paced, a lot of replay value and stuff, especially if you kind of go for like, you know, beat your high score or like beat the dev score type of stuff. So it's a really fun game, especially on Switch. My number eight was interesting because this actually just got added on yesterday, because I beat it yesterday and I was like, god damn it, now I have to revise my list again. Was Evan's Remains. It's an indie game that came out back in like June. It's pixel art. It was a Kickstarter game. It's like kind of 2D platforming, but it's more kind of like puzzle solving. You play as a girl who was sent to an island to find this guy named Evan, and it's kind of like you unraveling the mystery of like, you don't really know why you're looking for Evan or like why you're the one that was chosen to go find him. And it's supposed to be like a deserted island, but there's other people on the island, and you're kind of trying to figure out like, well, why are they on the island? And you're kind of going through these monoliths and stuff that are there, but they're kind of like hieroglyphics and stuff, like, so there's like a message and someone's trying to decipher like the message and stuff. So there's like the mystery of that. And the story at the end takes some pretty, like, you kind of spells it out for you, like, all right, halfway through the game, you're like, this is what's going to be the ending. And then they're like, nope, and just twist through. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, there was a lot of twists at the end that they throw at you pretty quick that you're like, did not see that coming. So, and it was on sale on the Switch for like $6 or something. So it was pretty short. Right. It's only like a couple hours of a playthrough and stuff. So that was really cool. I like that game.
Very cool.
And then my number seven was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Too low.
Well, it's because of the other stuff that's on there. But it was great. I loved it. And I mean, I still have songs on my Spotify playlist from it that I listen to regularly because they were bangers. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, I played through the entire game and like, two sittings basically for both one and two, and I would love to go back, and I want them to make DLC or a remake for three and four. But you know, that was a great game. And then of course Carrion was my number six.
All right, and then let's go to Jordan. What you got?
Okay, number 10 for me was Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Came out in January, and I'm just a huge DBZ fan, so being able to play through the entire saga in a game that actually controlled well and wasn't just fight scene to fight scene, you actually got to run around, explore the world, that was good enough for me to put it at number 10. I already said number 9 was Carrion. Number 8, which I'm surprised it actually made the list, was Final Fantasy VII Remake. Just because I did beat it. I'm only a couple trophies away from the platinum on it, and it's all the hard mode bullshit that I probably never will go back and do. But for the 40
Don't lie to the podcast and yourself.
Yeah, you're right. At one point, I'll be desperate enough and look at those three trophies and go, fuck it, I'm doing it. But for the 40 hours I did play it, it was pretty good. Number 7 for me was a game that just recently came out, actually. Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory. I don't know if you guys have heard about this one. It's a Kingdom Hearts rhythm game. And the reason I like this one so much is because they had a Final Fantasy version for the 3DS. And it's basically you just go through and you play through different songs and you gotta hit buttons on rhythm and all that kind of stuff. It's the concept is very simple, but the execution, in my opinion, is very good. And because I do follow Kingdom Hearts so closely, and because for whatever reason in a rhythm game they decided that they had to put new story beats that you need to know, I'm playing it. And then number 6 for me is Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Because this one kicks the absolute crap out of the last Hyrule Warriors game, and it's kind of cool to see how the champions died.
I have not played it. I wasn't a big fan of the first one, so I'm curious, though. If you're saying it's that much better, it would be...
I played probably one or two levels of the first Hyrule Warriors, and this one's just my go-to Switch game right now, aside from Hades.
All right. Very good. So we've talked about most of mine. 10 was Minecraft Dungeons. 9 was Murder by Numbers. 8 was Carrion. 7 is Resident Evil 3, which you might be saying is low, and it is. But like Justin said, I've got stuff I like better in front of it. And for me, it's this weird thing with the game. I like how short it is because I was able to get through it and play it and beat it. But at the same time, it's too damn short. You know, it's one of those, like, I'm usually one that, like, champions a short 4 to 6 hour experience as a good 4 to 6 hour experience versus an okay 12 to 20 hour experience is usually right in my wheelhouse. This needed to be more of like an 8 to 10 hour.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And it gets knocked a little for that. Number 6 for me is Paper Mario, the Origami King. The first one of the Paper Mario games I have beaten or seen all the way through since maybe the GameCube. I don't know. But the writing, top notch, very, just completely entertaining from beginning to end. And to Shannon's point earlier, the ending that makes you go like, whoa, they suddenly got real serious about this at the end. Like, oh, okay. Like you do you, Nintendo. Like, really kind of didn't see that coming. And I thought it was incredibly smart because it's playing on your assumptions of Nintendo at the same time. So it works like as a meta and also in the story. But yeah, that's my 10 through 6. Robbie, why don't you round us out here?
Let's go. All right,
let's go.
Let's do this. Okay, number one, I'm going to talk about a game that no one has probably played. And Zach and I had a small conversation on this. Was it yesterday, Zach?
Yeah, it was yesterday. I really want to dig into this one, but I haven't had time. But yeah.
I'm 7 hours in, Zach.
Okay.
And yeah, let's go, buddy. Like this game goes places.
This is my kind of jam. Is that what you're saying?
100,000% because of the combat alone. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna forget the name of the game. Not the name of the game that I'm gonna say, but 13 Sentinels is the name of the game. I'm trying to think of the art style that it reminds me of. It's a side scroller. It was a JRPG. It was very artistic. It was all hand painted.
Generation?
It was this past generation on PS4 and on Xbox One. Fudgesicle.
Like Katana Zero or something, was it?
No. It was a JRPG. Like you had a party of like 2 to 4 people.
Come on, Shannon. You probably played it for an hour.
I'm gonna go through this list, and whenever I'm done and y'all are talking again, I'm gonna look it up, and then I'm gonna interrupt one of you, specifically Shannon, and I'm going to tell you what game it is. Okay. But no. So 13 Sentinels it seems to be, unless the game just turns on its head, is you are playing as these different characters in this bobbing and weaving story and narrative that combines together and is essentially about you get into a mech and fight against kaijus, but there is something going on with time travel and with you don't know who, but someone is dosing you with drugs and knocking you out and making you part of these experiments, and the other characters that are a part of your little group are also being experimented on, and there's this really awesome little, the way they do the dialogue tree, it's like a collection of dialogue and collection of characters that you keep in like this, like your triangle button is where you keep your thoughts and you basically keep track of everything that's going on instead of a normal game where you can go to a menu and you can just like scroll down of all the things you've collected and looked at. Like this is actually, they keep it very tight, but they keep in this little in your triangle button, they keep track of all the important people and information you've collected. And they actually do a really cool thing where they will actually put a little lighted line that connect everything to this pile of papers is connected to this doctor and to this student who asked you to go take them. Like it's really cool. But I sent Zach a GIF or a meme that I created, and I think I put it in the Discord, and it's like my face at the beginning of the game where I'm like, what the heck is this? But then at the end of the first prelude, I was like, oh shiz, I'm in.
Yeah, that game looks legit. Is it just for the PlayStation?
Yes, it's a PlayStation exclusive. But you can play it on PS4, you can play it on PS5, which is what I'm playing it on. It is not a PS5 game. You can just play it on PS5.
Okay. So like that's the third time you've mentioned you have a PS5 in this game podcast. I get it. Humble brag. Good job.
My bad. I didn't know that was a tough tough spot for you, bud. My B. I'll just forget and not mention it again. By the way, I have a PS5. The number nine for me is, and no one's gonna be surprised by this, but it's Star Wars Squadrons. Look, I'm gonna say this. I know this game is not for everybody, and there's valuable reasons why it's not for everybody. And one of the biggest reasons is because the controls are very weird, and I benefited from having it on. I had a flight stick that a friend let me borrow. Yes, you can make a lot of jokes about me playing with my friend's flight stick. Okay. But at the end of the day, I got to fly an X-Wing. And that was one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced, is being able to do that. And I got to play it in VR a little bit too. And just, man, they went for it, and they, in my opinion, they hit it. Like, it's not the best game. The narrative isn't awesome. But, man, you get to fly an X-Wing. You get to fly a Y-Wing. You get to just be in the – you get to be in these dogfights and these battles against other people. I think this was just a fantastic game for the experience of being in Star Wars. And for me, like, I understand that it's not going to be for everyone, but if you can play this on VR or if you can play it with a flight stick, I highly recommend going and playing this game.
Sweet.
All right, next. I know this is taking too long. I apologize. Number eight is a game that everyone else has already talked about, is Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. Animal Crossing is freaking dope for the first, like, 20 hours. And then it just – when I had to start relying on other people for products and to really – and I think a lot of this has to do – and I think Zach and I talked about this back then. But the biggest problem I had was whenever I had to be connected to the internet to take advantage of the community aspect of it, and I couldn't. And that was really frustrating. And because I felt like I couldn't prosper. I really couldn't play the game right because I didn't have internet access. And so that's a problem. Also, I knew it wouldn't take me long. The game is called Dragon's Crown. Do you remember that game, Shannon?
Yeah.
I love that. I played the mess out of that game.
Dude, if you looked up the game, Shannon, while I've been talking about it, mm-hmm. you can tell the similarities. Like it looks like the same artist made the game.
That's why I was so interested. I'm gonna buy that game.
I'm on it. You're going to – I mean, I know you're only going to play about 20 minutes, but I'll tell you the rest, okay, if you can just get 20 minutes in. Animal Crossing, I want to praise the game, okay? Look, when you're sitting in a cabin in the woods and your wife is deployed, your son is sick all the time, and you have no idea how you're going to do this by yourself – as being a dad, being a teacher, with having to use your phone as your Zoom device to teach your students, the fact that a game could be such an addiction, could be such a positive thing in my life during that time, I think that this game will go down as one of the most important games of my life. Because it was just so delightful. It was just so fun to play. The music, the little characters, you know, the animations, the fact that I wanted to go fishing, and I just really need to write a letter, a stern letter to Nintendo, and tell them no one wants a fishing pole to break. Can you please quit letting your stuff break? Like, people do not enjoy playing games where stuff breaks. And if they do, they're psycho. But But no, I just...
But it's okay. Ubisoft will make their own version where nothing breaks and it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a good point. Next is a game that Zach and I both bought. I think we both bought, but we never got a chance to play, and I'm hoping next week I'm off. I don't know if you're off at all, Zach, but maybe...
We probably make it happen on Friday.
Maybe we can actually stream this and have some fun with it, but Command & Conquer Remastered. Zach and I, we are two peas in a pod when it comes to certain game types, and this is definitely that game type. And the original Command & Conquer and Red Alert are two, in my opinion, are two of the greatest games of all time. If they would have put Red Alert 2 on here, I would I would have just like I probably my son probably would have gone hungry. I don't know. It would have been really rough.
You're like, I know you need food, but Tanya's got to get into this base, see. So,
yes, Tanya is very important right now. Okay, son, I don't care if you have a poopy diaper. Okay, Tanya does not. Tanya needs to get into this base. But no, just Command & Conquer Remastered. Just this year was a good year for remasters. Whether it was Resident Evil 3, Command & Conquer Remastered, and then number 6, a game that everyone's either already mentioned or going to mention, is Tony Hawk. Pro Skater 1 and 2. I am just of the opinion that Tony Hawk Pro Skater is the epitome of nostalgia, in the best way possible. The first time you get into the warehouse and you go down that little hill and you ramp up that side ramp and you burst through the little building that's above it and you land it and then you grind and the music plays, like, it's just so perfect. It's so well done. It's so much heart put into that game and the way they put it together.
I'm changing my answer for best moment of the year. That was it. You're right. That first time you do that. But yeah, that was like pure bliss. I'm changing it. Sorry, Resident Evil. Sorry, go ahead, Robbie. Sorry.
But yeah, that I think there have been really bad remasters and remakes, and there have been really great ones, and this is definitely one of the best ones ever done. And also, I could probably argue it is the best one. This would probably be a tie between this and Resident Evil 2 for me, for best remake ever.
I definitely, they're both on the same short list. I would challenge anyone to come up with a better one, really.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Maybe Final Fantasy, but it's not complete. So
yeah, know. Yeah, we need to see that one through.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're in for the big fight now. The big game of the year, top 5 fight. Robbie, were you going to keep track of this for points?
Let me just bring it up my computer crashed a few moments ago, so everything I had died out on me. So let me
Let me remind people how we do this. Everyone will list, we'll go around the room. Everyone gives their fives, everyone gives their fours, so on and so forth. And every game is then weighted with their position and points are assigned. And then at the end of all of this, to avoid the big crazy fight, Robbie just tells us who won based on the points. Otherwise, we'd be here forever arguing that one game got shorted and another game needed to be higher and so on and so forth. This one, we have all 5 of us give our rank list, talk about the games, talk about why they're at the position they're at, and then Robbie tells us the winner.
Let's be very clear. There have been games to get screwed in this before. Okay, I just want to make that very abundantly clear.
And there is an Ori game that came out this year, so obviously that's going to be, pretty high.
I swear on everything holy and sacred, if that game ends up winning.
Oh, that's true. There was an Ori game. I need to rewrite my list here. Hang on a second.
Shut up.
I think it probably is only going to make one appearance, Robbie. So I think you're safe.
Yeah.
This time. All right. So let's start with number 5. And Jordan, what you got? Number 5.
Bug snacks.
Bug snacks. What the heck is this? Is this amateur hour? What is this?
Wait a minute, Mr. PS5. I mean, this is like one of the games that came out and you haven't played it yet? Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to go too into it because Justin talked about it a couple episodes ago. But, man, just the feeling of catching everything and the way the story goes, it hit much more mature themes than I thought it was going to. Like, it hit depression. It hit, like, substance abuse. Like, all these things wrapped in a what looked to be like a kid game package. I'll tell you, I had every moment I played that game was fun. And honestly, I did not know what way it was going to turn. So that's why it hit my number five, because if I hadn't already done everything in the game and platinum the game, I would still be playing it.
All right.
Well,
very good. And so we are going to go with Shannon. Your number five.
My number five is Tony Hawk. All right. So, you know, I don't need to say much about it because everybody else talked about it. So, yeah.
Okay. Very good. And Robbie, your number five.
I just changed my number five after after thinking about it a little bit more. My number five is Warzone.
Warzone.
All right. Yeah, I'm lowering it because it does feel cheap a little bit with it having come out with it having come out last year technically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also I'm just thinking about the incredible time that I've had with the other games that you know that are. Yeah, so I'm going to go Warzone. Warzone number five.
All right. And then Justin, number five.
My number five is the same as Zach's, which is going to be moving out.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Dude, if I was actually next to you, not just virtually, I would give you the biggest high five right now, because moving out is amazing.
It real like, and that's the thing. I don't think it would have been if I just played it by myself. I don't think it would be probably even on my top 10.
No,
but for like multiple weekends in a row, going over to my friend Matt's and stuff, we'd sit on the couch together and play this, and just the like moving like crazy long couches and just yelling at each other and doing like, you know, there's like the little extra challenges of like, oh, like. Make sure like the chicken doesn't get in the house and stuff, and you're almost there, and then someone lets the chicken in the house, and I'm just like, God, and then I'm like, nope, we're restarting. I'm like, and then there's like the extra hard challenges with like the where you're just moving the couch across some like Tron like stuff. I was like, all right, I'm like pivot. I'm like, okay, we got 20 seconds, we can do this. Come on, pivot. And it was just so much fun just yelling at each other. It's a great time.
Yeah, it's easily the most fun I had playing most of the time with my son, but it was the most fun I had playing with someone else the entire year. It's one of those games, like if you just want to be in a really good mood, because like the thing with games like this, like Overcooked and stuff like that, they have the monopoly thing of crossing over to where all of a sudden you're really angry at everyone you're playing with, because it's like, God damn it, just put the dishes away. What are you doing? Like you're ruining the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. But I will tell you, it's in one of the first challenges. There's a one of the bonuses is putting a turtle in the truck, and it moves slow. It's a turtle, but you're trying to just fucking catapult couches and desks from a second story down to the person underneath to catch him. And slowly but surely, this fucking turtle will just do its way out. And you're just like scrambling, jumping from the second story. Like, get the turtle, get him in the truck. And it's never not like just hilarious. It's always just, it's funny. It's irreverent. I mean, my son loves being a cat that's in a wheelchair for some reason. And like, so like, he's like trying to get up these stairs of this cat in a wheelchair. And like, he's just hucking fucking nightstands like over his shoulder. It's and just squealing because it's hilarious like the whole time. And he's having such a good time, which makes me have such a good time. It belongs on just for that reason. It is easily the most fun I have had. Like, it's just pure fun. And if you haven't played it, it's on Game Pass. Just download it. If you and your partner want to go for it, you and your children, it's a great game. It's just a hilarious co-player game. And excellent couch co-op, too, by the way. So that is my number five. Jordan, number four.
My number four, which I'm surprised, because as I was writing my list, I definitely thought this was going to be number one, and it's not. So my number four is Hades.
Ooh.
And
fighting words in this podcast, sir.
Hades is amazing. Every second I'm playing that game, I'm having a good time with it. The voice acting is... I really wish that this was a game that would come out on better on a different platform. Not better platform, a different platform. Because the voice acting deserves better sound output than the speakers on the Switch. It really does. Well, because...
It is available on Steam. You could play it on PC. You know, just saying.
Yeah, but, you know...
You're not a PC guy. I get it.
I mean, I have a PC, but I'd much rather play console. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be 100% honest, for the gameplay, the way the game is played, the Switch is the best platform to play it on. I just think the sound design deserves better sound output. But it's definitely scratching all of the Diablo itches. Even more so than like Minecraft Dungeons did, which is why I couldn't justify putting Hades and Minecraft Dungeons on there. It definitely, like I said, scratches that itch. I still have yet to actually escape. I know plenty of people that have, but with trying to play games for this Game of the Year one, this podcast, I just haven't had enough time to put into it to, how do the young people say, get good. Yes. I have not been able to do that yet, but yeah, Hades is my number four, and I am loving the hell out of it.
All right, well, it sounds like it should be number one, but anyway, Shannon, what you got? Number four.
Let me look at my list here. Number four was Star Wars Squadrons for me. I had a fun time playing the hell out of that game. It's one of the few games this year that actually got me to turn on my PlayStation 4 and play for a reasonable amount of time.
Oh, not your PlayStation 5? You didn't get to turn on your PlayStation 5?
No. Thanks. No.
My bad.
Yeah, I tried multiple times and failed multiple times to get it. But it was an awesome experience, and I'm hoping that it comes out on the Oculus Quest 2 so I could try the VR portion of it. But as for right now, that was a fun. It's probably the most fun I've had in a Star Wars game in almost 10 years. Wow. So yeah, it was it deserves to be on my list. So it's number four.
All right, Robbie, what you got?
For me, it's Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay.
The first Final Fantasy game, the original, is one of my top five favorite games of all time. And for them to be able to do a remake and do it well. And, you know, people can complain, and I am one of them, complain about dividing the game up, which I do agree with those arguments. But, man, they added stuff to that game that makes it, in a way, make sense. Like, you pay $60 for that game, and you easily can get 40 hours of gameplay in that game. And that to me means a lot, because it does, because, like, you know, everyone thought, like, what is it? Are they only going to be, like, 8 to 10 hour games? And look, there was a fear of that, but with the upgraded combat, the upgraded visuals, the story almost kind of being beat for beat the same game, which I have no problem with. But then, you know, Shannon and I talked about this when it released, the fact they added in all the side stuff of allowing you to, like, build up your rep as this, like, almost like this police officer in the town, which makes sense because it's essentially what you're doing in the first part of Midgard. Like, just was really, just really smart and really well done. And I really like the game a lot.
Very cool. And yeah, I think the remade battle system and just the complete overhaul of it is really impressive.
Well, so. Yeah, I mean, and just the fact that they give you the option to either play with the more like updated battle system or going with the more traditional like battle system is, I mean, makes it so much more accessible to everybody, and it hits that nostalgia value a little bit more. And you know, if I had put more time into that game, it probably would have been on my list at somewhere, but I didn't play it enough, and it makes me sad.
A real quick aside, very smart to put a demo out for that, because no one knew what that was going to be, and then I played that demo and was like, oh, I would play this game, because I am not a Final Fantasy VII guy, but that demo was really good, and it was super smart on their part. Justin, what you got? Number four.
My number four was Bugsnax.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. Like, and I'm not going to go too, you know, crazy into it, since, you know, we just talked about it, and I talked about it too, like, a couple weeks ago on the podcast and stuff. But, you know, the writing in it's hilarious. It's literally, like, everything that I, like, loved about Pokemon Snap, but, like, built better upon it. And then playing it on the PS5, like the stuff it did with the tension and the trigger on the controller and catching the Bugsnax and hearing them speak through the controller, like, was like a playbook out of like the Wii and stuff. And the ending, all the nightmare fuel that it is,
yeah, it's
perfect. Like, I hope it made a bunch of money for the team that made it so that we get a sequel or another game by them, since they're the same team that made the Octodad and stuff. So
can I ask you, Justin, did you watch after the credits?
Yes, okay. I did.
All right,
so
that had me very excited.
yeah, the after credits reveals some stuff that definitely sets it up for a sequel. So
yes,
all right. Still really need to play that game. So
oh, it's so good. It's stupid good. Like, you start off that game, I'm sorry to go on a tangent on it again, but you start off that game going, what the fuck am I doing? And then, like, 10 minutes in, you're like, okay, this is how you catch them. Okay, all right. And then 3 hours later, you're like, oh, fuck, I need to go to bed.
So, wait, hold on, Justin, you don't have, or Jordan, you don't have a PlayStation 5. Where is it playable on the PlayStation Store? Is it downloadable, or...
It's PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. So
okay.
I was interested enough in this game that I redeemed my free PlayStation 5 version on the app and turned around and went and bought the PlayStation 4 version anyway.
All right.
Okay. There it is.
Seems like a worthwhile purchase.
Oh, yeah. I will platinum it again on the 5 when I get one.
Nice. So my number 4 is Animal Crossing, and we won't go back into the depths of Animal Crossing, but I will say that I haven't seen a game completely take over a residence the way that game took over mine since the days of like Mario Kart 64 in my dorm room. You know, like, it was it's been a long time since every resident in my house was living and breathing a video game, and my daughter would scream with glee and joy and run around the house anytime anyone pulled an oarfish out of the ocean or something. Memes were developed in my family based around that game. It was glorious. it's fallen off. No one really plays it anymore, but there was a good 3 to 4 months there where it ruled everyone's waking minute in my house.
I will tell you, I am really glad that it is done in your house, because now everybody's coming back to Pokemon Go, and I'm starting to get more stuff back in my game.
So. People have returned.
Yeah.
The old gods have risen. All right, Justin, what you got? Jordan, what you got? Number three.
Oh, yeah. Number three, for the reason that I told you earlier, being my escape series, number three for me is Resident Evil 3. It would have been higher on the list. I was really hoping when it first came out that I'd be able to say, yep, game of the year, like Resident Evil 2 was last year, but it didn't hit the way Resident Evil 2 did. That being said, it plays wonderfully. They did some quality of life upgrades, like When you pick up items, they just automatically go straight in your inventory instead of popping up saying, hey, would you like to pick this up? And it's like, hey, I wouldn't push the fucking button if I didn't. The biggest reason for me, aside from it being a short game, that it was not higher on my list was the goddamn hospital sequence with Carlos. Everyone's like, oh, it's just like the cabin in Resident Evil 4, except in Resident Evil 4, when you shot people, they actually like flinched and stopped fucking moving and didn't overwhelm you. As you could tell, I have some PTSD from that. but yeah, Resident Evil 3, it's one of my go-to games. I've platinumed it. I've done everything in it, and I'll still load it up just to play through it quick. Yeah, number three for me.
All right. Very good. Shannon.
My number three was Paper Mario. I loved that game. I mean, it was the first one that I honestly went into. I did play the one on the 3DS, and I, you know, everybody told me that that was a waste of my time, and I shouldn't base my opinion of the series based off of that game. So I went back into Paper Mario, gave it a shot, and I liked the game. I liked the humor in it. It was a little long-winded at times. I felt that the battle mechanic after a while kind of lost its luster. But for the most part, it kept it entertaining enough. There was enough there to make it interesting as far as trying to get all the tchotchkes on the map and also attack your opponent. I did like the fact that they kind of flipped the script when you got to the bigger bosses and the mechanics changed a little bit. So that was fun. We've already talked about like the story points and the beats in it that kind of, you know, set it apart from being one of the other, you know, just another Nintendo game. So, you know, that's kind of why it earned a number three spot. I beat it. It was one of the you know, one of the few games that I beat this year. So it deserves a place pretty high up. Just because I don't agree with the ending doesn't mean that it wasn't an ending. Like Spiritfarer, I'm looking at you, you piece of shit. But anyway, you know, it had an ending and I liked it. So, yeah, that's my number three. Right. Robbie, what'd you got for number three? Oh, oh shit. No. Again?
Oh, he's again.
He's muted. He's muted.
Okay, okay.
Are you just muted?
Yes. Oh, God. I was like, thank God. What in the world?
Somebody needs to sniff Robbie's face and blow that up. He's
like... Yeah, Robbie's face was so good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Jesus. I was like, oh, my God. Did I let these guys down again? For me, is it's like this game also like ended up almost being number one for me. The top three were almost all number one for me, but Demon's Souls is number three that came out on
another PlayStation 5 game.
Okay. Yes, another PlayStation 5 game. I had never played the original Demon's Souls. When it came out on PS3, I tried playing it. I was like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, how do people like this? And I remember just being drunk and high, sitting on a couch in my buddy's apartment. And yeah, I have a backstory too, you know, Shannon. Wasn't always a pastor. But I remember just, I just remember having Jaeger bombs and smoking weed with my friends and sitting on his couch while he was going through these caverns with his little knight and just, you know, saying, oh yes, I got it. And then just screaming the F word over and over again, cause he died. And I just remember how frustrated and angry he was and trying to play it one time. I was like, this guy moves so slow. How is this fun? How is this fun? Like, I remember saying that to him. You know, but then Bloodborne came out and it converted me and it helped me realize and enjoy the world that is the Souls games. And so playing through Demon's Souls, man, that, you know, when we go back and we look at the first Assassin's Creed game, we pick that game up, even if they remaster it, but they keep the gameplay, they keep everything else, they just give it a nice little pretty shade of paint, or coat of paint, we're going to say, man, this game has not aged well. This game kind of sucks, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of games, like even with the first Mass Effect, we could say that the story is what carries that game. The first Uncharted game doesn't really play good. You know, like there are series games where if we go back to the original, it's just really interesting to go back and look at those games as thinking, man, this game would have to be completely rehauled to do good, to do well. But this game, like, it's so good. It's so freaking good. It is the epitome of the challenge of what the Souls games is. It is complicated. I try to explain to my wife what is going on in the story, and she's like, well, you have fun with that, okay? like, that was her response.
Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah, just enjoy that. However, just playing through this game, it has just been so fun, and I can't believe that a game that is this old, that just really kind of got an up-res, is still so impactful and so well done. And I highly recommend anyone play it who's a fan of the Souls games. When they get their PS5, please get this game, because I think it's incredible. I think it's a must play with this console.
All right, it definitely is a showstopper graphically. So
the dragon, oh my gosh, yeah, the dragon's alone.
All right, Justin, number three.
My number three was also Paper Mario, the Origami King.
Racking up them points.
Yeah, so this was a game I fully expected to hate it. I have not liked the last couple entries in the Paper Mario series. I mean, Thousand Year Door and the original one for 64 are some of my favorite games that I go back every couple years and play. I have multiple Paper Mario tattoos. And I immediately wrote this game off after seeing the trailer and stuff and finding out more about it, that it wasn't going to be really turn-taking. And I was like, dude, like, you're not really going to have, like, actual partners. And, man, Nintendo proved me wrong. Like, the writing's hilarious, like, as good as Thousand Year Door. The partners that they did have, even though they were just basic enemies and stuff, like Bobby and Bowser Jr. Mm-hmm. And it's just like their moments were just great. Like throughout, and there's tons of just fun little moments. I loved like all the inspiration they basically took from Zelda and stuff, and the different temples with the elements and like the origami aesthetic and stuff. So much of like the landscape was just beautiful and stuff in the game, like riding through the desert in the cart and stuff was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought it was really great, and I continuously played it until I beat it, and I was thoroughly surprised at how good it actually came out. I was not expecting it to even make this list, so it far surpassed my expectations.
Yeah, I remember you talking, I remember making fun of you before this game came out about how much mess you were talking about this game, and I knew you were going to buy it anyway. Yeah. And it was just one of those, like, yeah, you're sitting here, but I know, like, day one, you're purchasing it. So, like, I don't know why you're doing this to yourself.
Yeah, I'm sitting there bitching about it as I'm pre-downloading it. I'm like, dude, this is going to suck so hard, man.
This is going to be, like, the worst game. Yeah, take my $50.
It's like, my debit card's already in the Switch. And I'm like, dude, Nintendo, what are you doing, man?
Okay, so my number three. Hey, guys, let's have a chat. Pull up a chair. We need to talk about Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And the fact that this is
no, we don't. No, we don't.
Is ridiculous. I challenge you to find a better looking game, first off, that exists in
13 Sentinels.
No, real games, not your graphic novel, sir. real. It's stunning visually. It is probably a top two Metroidvania type game of all time. It got me to say the word Metroidvania, goddammit. But the combat is exceptional. The movement is phenomenal. The storyline is really, really good. It does this similar heartstring tugging that the first Ori did as well.
Yeah, it does. But in the freaking first 7 minutes of the freaking game.
It gets to the point. But it...
Meaning you can jump off a bridge.
I'm sorry you hate feeling emotions, Robbie.
It's so sad. It's so freaking sad. I don't understand why they keep doing this with these games.
But it's so good.
I mean, good And keep Super Sat are not mutually exclusive. I just want to make that very clear.
Yeah, well, I mean, DC movies are awful and you keep paying to see them. Oh. Like, I don't know. these things just,
that wasn't
there's no necessary. There's no
that wasn't even necessary. I don't even know why you didn't mean that. You're just being mad. You're just being
I'm just saying there's thank you. But I mean, I'm just saying there's no explaining the hearts of men, you know. That's all that was all that was. But yeah, but in reality, Ori is the best game no one played. And I don't really understand why no one played it, because it's really good. I mean, it's a great, probably 30-hour experience to go through the whole thing. And there's tons to find, tons to explore, a fun weapon tree that you get to expand on. The boss designs are phenomenal. It's a good challenge, but it's not impossible. And it's some sad bastard story stuff. Yes, that's true. But it's a good story. Like, it's still really good. Guess what? I still like to watch Up, even though the opening shreds me every time. Like, it's okay. Like, sometimes emotions are all right. It makes me sad that, like, A, most people here didn't play it, and B, it's not on anyone else's list. But if you're listening to this and you have an inkling, Ori and the Will of the Wisp is phenomenal. It is exceptional, and you should play it.
The problem is I haven't beaten the first one yet, and I don't want to start the second one until I've beaten the first one. And I'm probably 60% through the first one, so once I finish my game of the year, I can go back and play it.
Just take your heart, break it in two, stomp on it, then just pick up the second one. Because that's exactly what the first one did.
And it's so good. But it's so good.
It was. It was very fun to play and cry. Great.
Yes. I mean, yeah. What? okay, so Jordan. Number two, what you got?
Number two, I have Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah.
That's my number two. And I know it's a glorified add-on, or everyone keeps saying that. I enjoyed it. It was a good 8 to 10 hour experience. It felt really good to get back into the map and just web swing through town. I found myself doing that, like, just to relax after a day of work. I'd just go swing around, do stuff.
Sure.
And it was really good. The story itself was your typical Spider-Man story. Nothing new there, but for Spider-Man, that's not a bad thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And Miles is a really fun character to get to explore, to get to play as. I like how, if you think back to 2018 Spider-Man, when you're swinging through town, he's very precise. He's very comfortable in what he's doing. Miles, as a new Spider-Man, isn't. And there will be times where you're web-slinging and you can see, like, he catches it and his body just kind of flails, or where he's trying to do more tricks or something. Like, you can just tell he's a different personality. And while it was the same map of New York City, that's what really got me, was it was a completely different personality. It was a completely different character you got to play as. You got an origin story without having to see Uncle Ben die, which was great. It was just a good game. It was a lot of fun. One of the trophies for the game was to beat the game on New Game Plus, and I had absolutely no issue doing that. And most of them, I don't like when they do that. But this one, I could not wait to roll credits and get right back into it.
Always a sign of a good game when you see credits and you're like, yeah, let's just start it up.
That's exactly what I did. I let the credits roll, and I was like, and new game, let's go.
Right, perfect. All right, Shannon, number two.
My number two is Hades. You know, I think that's where this game belongs on the list. It's, you know, a roguelike that I didn't think I was going to end up playing for 40 hours, but I did. You know, I beat it multiple times. I got through enough of the story to, you know, see it to completion. There's a variety of weapons that you can use, and it's not, the ending doesn't, it, you know, it's not tied to the different weapons, which is great. You just have to beat it multiple times. So if you find a weapon that you like, that you're comfortable with, huzzah, you're going to make it through this game. I like the character writing. I like the story. I like the lore. I like the humor in it. You know, there's just so much about the game that it hits all the right spots. And, you know, it feels that Diablo vibe without feeling like Diablo. It's faster. Mm-hmm. The character is responsive. The controls are tight. I don't feel like it's being cheap when I die. Usually it's because I either, you know, fat fingered a button or I dashed into the fire, which is, you know, a stupid move on my part. Elysium, that one level can go suck a bag of DX, but other than that, like everything else is
the Minotaur specifically.
But like, you know, after a while you kind of get used to like, okay, this is where the mini boss is. I can kind of skip that. I can go through this door instead of this door. So I kind of like the fact that it gives you like that kind of choose your own adventure feel, and you don't feel slighted by it either. Like, it's just kind of a trade-off. Like, you know, do I really need that right now, or can I go this way? And I like games that give you alternate ways to get around something that kind of is a stumbling block for you and still make you feel like you're making progress in the game. Sure. So yeah, I mean, that was my number two. Yeah. Jordan, what do you got? Robbie, what do you got?
Number two for me is also Hades.
Yes.
Zach called it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I know some things about some things, Robbie.
You know your boy pretty well. I think that this game is incredibly hard at times. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly challenging, but it is so fun getting there. It is so fun getting through it. The art style is awesome. The voice work is great. I've been, I think I told Zach about this, but I've been playing it on my PC and my MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. And the cross-save compatibility is super easy, and I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to click a thing. It just automatically saved it for me. And I've been going back and forth playing it. I've been enjoying it. I enjoy beating the bosses. I do not like beating the bosses numerous times, but hey, it's a roguelike, so you got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, oh man, what was the roguelite that came out last year?
Which of the 400 are you talking about?
Dead Cells?
Dead Cells. Yes. Yeah. Like this had me hooked like Dead Cells did.
Look at Jordan just pulling it out of a hat right there. That was really impressive.
Yeah, by the way. Thank you, sir. Dead Cells is dope, and so is this. I probably like Dead Cells a little bit more overall, but this game, in a year that this year was, and the quality of games that came out, I believe Hades does stand above the rest.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're not wrong, sir.
Justin, number two.
So my number two kind of breaks the mold here, and my number two was Super Hot Mind Control Delete.
I have this downloaded and I still haven't played it, but
is that the VR one or is that like the sequel?
It's a sequel. Oh, okay. So it's not Super Hot because the VR one's just the first one in VR. I don't think there's a VR version for this one.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it's great. I mean, I love the first Super Hot. I've played it multiple times and it's more of the same, but they add so much new stuff that it does feel like a completely new game, and like adding like with swords and like how you like have health now, and there's like modifiers that you kind of pick up, and it does have kind of roguelike elements to it and stuff. Like, it's super great, and I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, so I'm not going to go on and on about it too much, but it kind of stealth released this year. I think back in like April, like there wasn't a lot of fanfare, but like not nearly as much publicity as the first game. And, you know, it exceeded my expectations for what it was. So,
and it was free if you had the first Super Hot. That was the best part about it.
Yeah, that's what made me, I thought it was like DLC, honestly, for the first, like when it first came out, I was like, dude, is this DLC? And the fact that it was like a like full-fledged game, like completely baffled me.
Yeah, that game is really good.
Ooh. All right. So my number two, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1-2. and we've talked about it, and I have talked about that game in mass on this show, so I won't bore everyone to death, but it's a perfect remake in my mind. Like it had, like, to Robbie's point, the nostalgia is, I am not a nostalgia guy, but it hits.
We are all anti, you and I are anti nostalgia. Yeah. We have been since the beginning of time with us.
But somehow this game just got me in all the right ways. Like we talked about it on Discord a little bit, but the muscle memory when it kicked back in and all of a sudden you can do that first run in New York City where you're getting six figures every time. And it's like, oh yeah. Oh, here it is. I'm back. I'm back, baby. I'm back. And yeah. Unlocking all the tricks, all the specials, going through. The only thing was when they first released it, you couldn't do how I used to play the game, which was beat it with one character, start up the next character, go through everything and beat it again, go through everything and beat it again. And like you would clear the board just maxing out every character one by one. Because once you got the goals in a city, those were just X'd out across the board, and you could only get the stat points from that point on for every character. So it really took a lot of the replayability out of the game. They have since changed that, so it's back to how it was. The created character thing sucks. I'm not gonna mince words about that. It's bad. It just not what you can do, but the menu system and how you interact with it is awful. So that needs to be changed if they're going to move forward. I kind of hope they keep this game as a platform. Just give me the pack of Pro Skater 3 levels, Pro Skater 4 levels. Like, it's just, I'll give you more money. Just, I don't need another game. Just give me more levels. Yeah, that game, I said it when we weren't recording earlier, but that game took over easily a month and a month and a half of my life. Like it, I was playing it every chance I could. I still dip into it from time to time, even though I should be playing other stuff. It's complete comfort food gaming for me, and it hit every right note, and I love it. So it's number two for me. Okay, Jordan, we're here. What you got? Number one, lay it on me.
Can I, real quick before we do number one, I would like.
Are you muted?
No, it's just you, bud. It's just Zach.
Just everyone else can hear me?
Yeah.
Might be me.
It's Zach.
Zach's okay. AirPods disconnected. Mark that off. Podcast bingo, everybody.
All right. Podcast bingo. My Bluetooth cut out for some random reason. But okay, we're back.
All right, what I was saying is, before I jump into my number one, I would like to say I would really like to see the same people that did Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 tackle Underground. I would love to see a remake of Underground. Yeah.
Proper thug. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. My number one, I'm going to be quick about this one because I know somebody else has this as their number one as well. But my number one is a game that actually just came out this month. And since it came out, I put 40 hours into it, and I'm loving every second of it, and it's Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Yeah.
This is the Breath of the Wild that I wanted when Breath of the Wild came out. Mm-hmm. This game controls super well. You don't have item degradation, which is so nice. Every beat that you do, the comedy in the game, the writing in the game is fantastic. Listening to Prometheus and Zeus banter back and forth while you're playing, everything about this game is just. I really wish this would have come out sooner so I had more time to play it. To be 100% honest, because this is the game I've been waiting for all year.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just going to go right into it, too, because, like, it's my number one game of the year, too. So I'll tell you, like, everything that Jordan just said, like, is spot on. You have, like, the whole Destiny aspect where, like, you get different armor sets, and, like, the different armor sets come in different variants. So, like, there's the dress-up factor there, so your character changes. You have, like, swords and bows and axes, and none of them break. You don't have to worry about them ever breaking. And as you power up your weapons, it goes across all your weapons. So you're not wasting time, like, upgrading just one set of weapons. Like, everything is going to get upgraded as you spend your points, like, evenly. You know, you get to choose what special abilities you're going to unlock. And, you know, there's, you know, a set of, you know, god abilities that you get as the story progresses. They're all easily explained. You all get the bonuses. They're easy to upgrade. They're easy to find those things in the real world. Like, all you got to do is just go out there and collect them. And the world is huge. Like, I'm 40 hours into this game, and I've only unlocked half the continent. So, like, there's plenty of things to do in this world. The one thing that I would say is a knock against it is that Ubisoft, in the beginning when this game first came out, before they patched it, it wouldn't let you play the game unless you, if you were on Wi-Fi, you had a Ubisoft account, like, set up with them so you could get the rewards through it. I hate that crap. So I would just put it in airplane mode so it wouldn't ask me for that shit and it would let me play the game. Now they've kind of patched that out so you don't have to worry about being bombarded with, like, hey, sign up or we're not going to let you play. So that's out of the way. The only other thing that kind of ticks me off is sometimes the controls can get a little muddied when you're climbing. But other than that, everything else is enjoyable. The combat isn't stale. There's always different combos, different ways to attack, different ways to sneak up. There's a variety of monsters. You know, there's bounties that are kind of put on you by the main enemy that, you know, will all of a sudden kind of spice up your jaunt across the continents. So all in all, like, the story is great, the lore is great, the combat is great. Like, it's a great game all the way around. And, you know, I wish it came out earlier in the year, you know, so it could, a lot more people could have played it. But I think it'll get its due. I think it'll be a pretty popular game going into 2021. And yeah, I'm happy it's my number one game of the year. Robbie, what's you?
For me, y'all sit back. This is going to take a few minutes. For me,
hold on, I'll put you on mute right now. Here.
Okay. My number one is Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah, it is.
This is not hyperbole. This is just a straight up fact. Miles Morales, the character that Marvel created a few years back, is the best comic book character created in the last 20 years. It's not even up for debate. The way he was created by Brian Bendis in the Ultimate Universe and then brought into the fold, just his background, you know, him, you know, you're basically trying to replace Peter Parker, which is, you know, borderline impossible with how long he's been here, been around. And it's just so incredibly well done in the comics. And then in, you know, 2 years ago, this game, the first Spider-Man game comes out and they introduce him. And you're like, okay, that's cool. You know, that's a nice little nod. But then they give you the little teaser at the end of the game. And so you're just patiently waiting. And so when this game came out, I knew that I was going to like it as long as they kept, you know, the way I was going to like it is if they kept the web slinging the same. Because we all talked about it, like, the most fun part about the first Spider-Man game, while it's a great game, the combat's awesome, the story's really good, the best part of the game is just traversing through the world. Like, and I did not know, and my brother Corey, he's been playing the original game lately, and so for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, I brought my PS5 and brought, you know, Miles Morales, and he's like, holy freaking crap, no load screens? Like, that thing moves so much better than my game does. And he has a, you know, PlayStation Pro. But he was just, I didn't realize how much of a difference the game made from one generation to the other, just in the, how the game feels, the way the game moves. And Miles Morales does move differently. He does play differently. The combos that you can do, the finisher moves are just so awesome. I think that this is possibly the best photo mode in any game I've ever played. I know that's a small thing that no one really cares about, but I had so much fun taking snapshots and editing them and putting filters on it and messing with the lighting and the shadows. Like, it was just a lot. It was a lot of fun to do. It was like a mini game in itself within the game. But then the story of Miles Morales and talking about, you know, the loss of your father and trying to get out of the shadow of not only your father's death, but also getting out of the shadow of probably the most popular and most well-known superhero in the world in Spider-Man. And it was just so well done. The story was incredibly well done. The characters around Miles Morales is so much – was so enjoyable to get to know them. The villain makes sense. The villain is – it's a sad. It's tragic. Just like it was sad and tragic in the original Spider-Man game that came out a couple years ago. I don't know how they did it, but they did it so well where you come to like a character and they end up being the villain. I think this is like if they give me a co-op like Peter and Miles in a game, I will die of joy. because this is just a special they have something special going right now, man. I really believe that, and really the only way it messes up is if they get in their own way, because this series needs to continue because they've done just such a great job, and also the facial animation work is just top notch. So
hey Robbie, you like to read books, right?
I do like to read.
Did you know that they made a prequel book for the original, the 2018 Spider-Man, and a prequel book for Miles Morales?
I knew the first one, did not know of the second one.
Yep, it's called Wings of Fury. I'm about halfway through it right now. It is, it's really good. I would recommend it.
Well, that is going on the list. That is going on the reading list.
Just figured I'd throw that out there.
Sorry. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. No.
All right, Justin, what you got?
All right, so my number one had to be Animal Crossing New Horizons. Okay, Shannon's shaking his head at me. I don't want to hear it, Shannon, all right? Just because you got fucked over on the turnip market doesn't mean you have to hate the game, all right?
Look, let me just say, it was good for a night, but it was not good for a permanent fix. Like, it was, you know, it's just... Like,
so, I know, I hear you out. I hear you saying that. But I want you to name another game this year that we all bought, that not only did we buy and all play at the same time, but that we literally added a full fucking segment to the podcast for
months. That's a very valid point.
You can't, and you won't.
Dude, we only added a segment to the podcast because of Mike Miller. If it wasn't for Mike Miller, we wouldn't have added
this. And we had him on multiple times to talk about the game.
Like, we added the segment, Shannon, because it was the only game all of us were playing all the time. All of the time. Like, for 2 months, it was, like, the only game.
That's because it was the only game that really came out at that time, though.
But and it was good. If it sucked, no one would have played it.
Sure. Yeah, it, like,
well, maybe it did suck. Maybe it was just the slump buster of COVID.
Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal was a game that all came out during this time, too, and none of us put that on our list.
Very true.
Ding!
So...
Like, it treaded like, the line between you know what? Game and experience.
Justin, I'm going to step in and I'm going to help you, sir. I'm going to be on Team Justin here, okay?
Yeah.
That game is delightful. It is fun. My qualms with the game is that my limited internet hindered my experience, and it kept me from fully embracing and enjoying the multiplayer aspect of the game. That does not take away from the 30-plus hours that I put into the game without internet access. And like creating your little character, naming your island, like taking responsibility for the game and doing chores was fun. And again, my biggest gripe about the game outside of the multiplayer stuff is really I'm just sick of Nintendo creating games where stuff breaks. I'm just so sick of this. But no, Justin, I completely agree with you, man. Like it is lower for me because I did not finish the game because of my limitations. That is not a detriment to the game. That is a detriment to my situation. So, I agree with you. I listened to you guys babble and talk about this game. Heck, I got on here and did talk about it once when I was able to. But this game is special, you know, in one way or the other. Shannon, you're just being peanut butter and jealous. I just don't understand that right now.
I am not a cool bean. I am a jelly bean. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah. And so Shannon wants to say that, but I also can't think of another game. Like, besides, like, around podcast time, like, Shannon doesn't really text me. Yet you know damn sure Sunday morning, text from Shannon. Hey, bro, what's your turn-up prices? I'm like, would never hear from Shannon otherwise. But lo and behold,
bullshit.
Animal Crossing.
I'm calling bullshit out. Right now. Like, I remember Paper Mario was going down when we were playing Paper Mario. I was messaging you as well. Like, it's,
yeah, and that was my number three game.
Animal Crossing is tearing us apart.
But yes, I mean, Animal Crossing, I've played damn near all of them. Every few years, I would go back and play the first one for GameCube because that one was my all-time favorite. And I honestly feel like after playing New Horizons, I don't really feel the need to go back and play the first one anymore because now I have New Horizons.
That's fair. That's totally fair. And I think it should be recognized, like, that game's place in this year. Like, this was, for most people, one of the worst years on record. And that game helped a lot of people get through a lot of dark months.
I think it helped a lot of people. It helped a lot for video games, too. Like, you couldn't find a Switch. You couldn't find an Animal Crossing copy. Like, there were people that I knew that, like, poo-pooed on video games and would make fun of me because I played video games, and then all of a sudden here they are playing Animal Crossing on Tom Nook's junk because, like, they're all up in that Animal Crossing world. But yeah, it did a lot for gaming in general, just more than gamers. Like, I think it did a lot. But
what's wild is I could go on Twitter right now and I can guarantee I can find a post of someone's Animal Crossing Island right now. Wouldn't see anything about Cyberpunk. And that just came out. Right.
No, except for maybe how much that game sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's someone complaining.
No, I think it's absolutely a valid number one pick. For me, it came down to just the amount of fun I had in games. And for me, that game, the number one obsessive game that like totally grabbed me with both hands and shook me was Hades, and that's my game of the year. I'm a super giant games fan, like ever since Bastion first hit, and I loved Bastion and the whole thing with the narrator. I think their take on Pyre with sports was pretty fun. They do Transistor, but we won't talk about it here. Transistor, but the thing that Supergiant does incredibly well is world building, and Hades is absolutely no exception. Like they made a Diablo style roguelike, and on the surface you could be like, oh, that can go wrong in so many different ways, but the world they built around their Diablo style roguelike makes it incredibly engaging. And their battle system, where, you know, you're always going to get something every time out of it. It makes it, you know, when that Minotaur kicks your ass in Elysium, you're not putting the game down in disgust and walking away. You're firing it up for the next run because you know you're probably going to get something that's going to help you, and maybe you can get past it this time. And if not that time, okay, 20 more minutes and I'll try again, and maybe the next thing I get will get me. The slot machine roll of the boosts you're going to get along the way, maybe this is going to be the build, maybe this is going to be the time, and I'm going to get the things that are just going to let me waltz right through. And the thing that I don't think gets recognized enough is narrative in Hades. You can go through on your, you know, 120th time through the game and still get new narrative material dropped on you. Like, you'll get new dialogue, you'll get new story beats, you'll get new things that happen, which is kind of insane when you think of, like, how they're planning on you going through this game hundreds of times, and they're still they planned on it, and they have it all in the hopper ready to go to drop that next little story beat on you and open the door up just a crack wider to show you, oh, there's something else behind there. Oh, maybe next time you can see a little more of it. And all of those hooks just do such an exceptional job of pulling me as a player through the world, making me want to fire it up one more time. Just one more time. Like Jordan said earlier, all of a sudden it's 3 a.m. and you're like, shit, I got to go to bed. Like, damn it. That has happened to me so many times playing Hades, where I'll be in bed being like, one more time. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, I've got work in 5 hours, you know? So it's one of those things where I'm like, and my daughter is now in here saying hi. Okay. I'll call you in a little bit. Okay. Bye. Thank you. So all those things put together make me go easily my game of the year. Nothing else really came close to me as far as something that really felt fresh, really felt inventive, and Hades and Supergiant took it for me this year. And to the point where I had a conversation with Robbie earlier, where it was just one of those, like, Diablo 4's got a lot of work. Like, I was really hyped for Diablo 4, but after playing Hades, I don't know if I can go back to just your standard Diablo 4 or Diablo style game. Like, I feel it now when I play Minecraft Dungeons with my kid. I'm like, man, this is kind of boring. Like, where's the secret sauce, you know? And so, Hades, that's it for me. So, so we've all given our top five. Mr. Steltenpool, do you have the point totals? You want to give us the rooms 1 through 5?
I do. I don't have 1 through 5. I have 1 through 4.
Okay,
because that's fine. Because 1 through 5, there was a lot of ties for that first spot.
Sure.
But number 4, was I apologize. Jordan, what was your number 1?
Immortals Fenyx Rising.
And what was your number 2?
My number 2 was Miles Morales.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Yes, I'm right. I'm just making sure I didn't miss anything. All right. Number 4 was Tony Hawk Pro Skater. All
right.
Number 3 was Paper Mario.
Interesting.
Yes. Number 2 was Animal Crossing.
Oof. Oh, interesting.
But the unanimous winner, because I think almost every one of us put it in it but one person. Now you know how it feels, Justin. Hades is number 1.
All right.
Justin, you know now how it feels, like I did in 2015, where I was the only one of the group who picked Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain, and no one else did.
Okay, but can I say real quick, Phantom Pain over Ori?
100%.
Thank you.
Phantom
Pain is legitimately my third favorite game of all time.
And see, the other thing, Jordan, that year is also the reason we started doing the point system, because that was the year we figured out, like this year, take this year, for example, no one wants to listen for another hour and a half of me and Robbie debating Spider-Man versus Hades, because that is what this would devolve into if because that is what that podcast devolved into, was just me talking and Robbie talking for like an hour, going back, breaking down into minutiae, jabs back and forth. But it was just because I don't know if you know this, I can talk, and Robbie, being a career preacher, he can talk. And when you get the two of us on opposing sides, it just breaks down into badness for all involved. That isn't me or him.
It came to the point where it was not fun.
No, but neither one of us would give up.
Nope.
That is why the point system became, because then it's just, that's just the math and we're moving on with our lives. So yeah.
I will say this, something I haven't heard Robbie do in a long time that I kind of miss, that I know he can do, is I haven't heard Robbie rant about something in a long time.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a good Bible thumping in a while.
Well, I can guarantee you this. now that I will probably be able to be on more often, and there are games that I really care about coming up here in the next couple months, and I'm sure Sony or Xbox will find a way to let me down, you'll probably hear one here in the near future.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man. But this year, I mean, just overall, I didn't really have a lot to rant about. Like, I mean, actually, I'm pretty sure Shannon could have put it to music, but my rant early on this year about Last of Us 2 is probably up there.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It
wasn't recorded, but me and you had a pretty good rant session about the Avengers. That was fun.
You want to talk about, like you guys mentioned, most disappointing. Like, that is not the most disappointing game of the year for me. That is the most disappointing anything this year. Because how do you ruin – you did this, Jordan. You did this. How do you ruin a Destiny-like game with superheroes? How do you have a sucky version of that? How do you not make a fun version of that? How do you not look and see what Destiny did wrong and what the Ubisoft version of Destiny?
Anthem.
No.
That was EA.
The game in the city with the snow and the money.
Division.
The Division. Like, how do you not watch those versions of those games and not fix what was done wrong? And also, it's so bad. Anyway, I don't know about you guys, and I would love to just hear your overall thoughts of the year. For what happened this year, for what was going on, for how many games got delayed. Yeah, the bigger titles were disappointing, but I think there's a lot of gems in here in 2020.
Oh, yeah. For the fact that an indie game made our game of the year, like I said in the chat with you guys, like, it wasn't my personal game of the year, but I have absolutely no qualms saying Hades is a goddamn good game and deserves to be up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a good year for gaming in general because of the pandemic. You know, we just, a lot of people that weren't keen to gaming kind of are getting into it. And I think that's kind of cool. Broadening your horizons, changing some opinions, you know, finding more commonality with people in a time where you can't physically go out and talk to your friends is it's fun to find a way to still have fun with them. So while this year might have sucked otherwise, I think gaming as a whole, you know, was still there to bring people together. So yeah, that was my takeaway from 2020 in gaming.
Yeah. And to that point, I think it was a good year for, you know, not necessarily good year for that things got delayed and pushed and everything, but it cleared the path for a lot of these type of games to come to the surface. Games like Hades. Yeah, I don't know if I would have played Hades as quickly as I did if everything else, if the big flood of games was normal. Like, you know, or I, even though we said it fell apart, I would have never touched Spiritfarer. And it had some moments this year that were some of my favorite, you know, and so things like that. It was a good year for game discovery in that, in that regard. So,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just was going to say, like, we didn't talk about it before, so we don't have to do it. And then you can cut this out, Shannon, if we're not going to do it. But did you want to do like one game we're looking forward to next year?
Let's save that for next episode.
Okay.
Yeah, we can save that. We can do a looking forward episode. That's fine.
Cool.
But hey guys, thank you for hanging in there and hearing all of our back and forth and rants and so on and so forth. And I feel really good that I was right. Hades, game of the year. And I've never seen a host get kicked off his own show before, but hey, here we are. And all right. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Shannon, Justin, Robbie, thank you so much. And Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thanks for having me.
And anyone like to say anything before Justin takes us on out of here?
Jordan, you want to plug your wife's latest venture?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My
stop that plug, man.
My wife is doing, she just discovered GarageBand, and she has been having a lot of fun making music.
Cool.
And I know I put the link in the Facebook group, but if you just go to YouTube, because she doesn't have enough subscribers to actually have a custom URL yet, if you just go to YouTube and search Melanie Derringer, she's the first person that pops up. So she's only got like 3 or 4 songs up right now, but she's kind of trying to do like 1 week sort of thing. But yeah, go check her out.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's Melanie awesome. Derringer, drop a sub on that if you like. And why don't you go ahead, Justin, and take us on out?
You got it. You know what, guys? Thank you for listening.
You know, every year, time it's great. Yeah,
this is the first time I've been able to actually see it.
You see what I mean with the lean in and the little like used car salesman smile every time? Great.
You know, thank you for listening to our Game of the Year discussion, you know, and tuning in and supporting the That Pixel Life podcast throughout the year and joining discussions on the Facebook group and on the newly formed Discord and stuff like that. We really appreciate it. And, you know, I also appreciate the fact that, you know, hey, 2 Nintendo games made the top 5. And I'm the biggest Nintendo fan on the podcast. So the fact that 2 of them got squeaked by, that's bonus for me, man. And, you know, if you want to leave us a review because, you know, you like listening to us, you can, you know, go over to iTunes. Give us 5 stars, 4 stars, however many stars you want. That's your decision. You know, and if you want Shannon to bring back the soundboard, you know, let him do it. He's got that new fancy computer. Make him put it to work. And I'm not – normally, this is weird for me. I'm usually, you know, asking Zach what Robbie would say, but we got the man of the hour right here. Yeah. Robbie, what would you say since you are here right now?
Go and be great, guys.
I feel like you missed out there. I feel like you missed out. You should have asked Zach.
Yeah, it would have been funny.